Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
How are you feeling about that?
It's going good.
What are some of the things that you're trying to focus on here?
Just trying to get good, be good.
While you're trying to be good,
it's going pretty good.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Can Tack be good again this Sunday against Indianapolis?
By the way, our buddy Brian Baldinger was with us for our big fantasy football palooza that we did over Twin Peaks to start the fantasy football season. He posted on his Twitter page a video of Tack blowing up the guard for the Eagles in a play where almost Vic gets a sack. I mean, it's just there's so many good things that are happening just coming up this close. Vic did record a sack. Obviously, we saw a sack from our man Grady Jarrett. But Tack, I mean, if he brings that intensity every week, then all of a sudden he's going to get up to 10 sacks this year.
I love his tweet, you know, and the whole thing about if I don't get double-digit sacks, I'm cutting my braids off or whatever. Okay. But he said there was a tweet, I think, after the game where he's like, you can sleep on me if you want to. These guys know. And I say these, I'm talking about those two guys specifically. They know. I mean, whether Vic responds the way we want him to, you know, and that like, I'm pissed off.
Right.
He's never going to be that guy. He's just not – that's not in his character. But to say that he doesn't play hard or that he doesn't attempt to try, those are misnomers. That's not true. He is. But if Quinn is going to put him in these positions, Mike, to have more success at getting at the quarterback, I'm all for it. We said it. I don't care how you do it. Right. This is what we're paying you all this money for. And while we were not for giving you that $12.8 million option, and Quinn said, we believe in the player. That's what he told me. We believe in the player. Okay, great. So how are you going to use this guy? So for the first time, because in week one, we really didn't get a chance to see it, now I want to see what they do against Indianapolis and how you approach stopping the run. Because, again, as much as we talk about the run against Philly, which we shut it down, Marlon Mack and company are a different story.
Right, and one of those cliches you hear people say, defense travels. Well, our defense travel. You know, we got a really good defense. We feel that, again, the outlier that was the Minnesota game, you can just, you know, burn that game film because we were a hot mess. Now you look at the Eagles game. It was a tough physical. I mean, that was a man's football game. Guys getting knocked out. We talked about it earlier. Basically, Coach Peterson says, you know, guys, we'll kind of do a lot of film review and some light work today because we don't have enough, like, bodies for a real practice. Probably no sense in having guys getting banged up. So that's the kind of game we played. Now, go to Indianapolis. You can't lose now, Carl. You can't go backwards. We've got to build off this momentum because the Saints are in a little bit of turmoil. They're not going to put, we'll talk about it in the blitz, Drew Brees not going on the IR, which has raised a few eyebrows around the league.
Yeah. Every player is going to work their tail off to get back. Drew Brees knows how important his, you know, being out there is vital to the success of his football team. Am I hoping he's out 6 to 8 weeks? Personally, yes, I am.
I mean, we've all had to deal, like, our whole season went off the rails last year with injuries. We still had a good fighting chance. We just couldn't, you know, make the plays. But the Saints, everybody, you know, Sean Payton and everybody in New Orleans saying we can get through it. It would be a hell of a test. And look, as much as we can't stand New Orleans, I think we have to respect that creep, Sean Payton, because he is a genius offensively. Now, if he can get it out of Teddy Bridgewater, Taysom Hill, without having to go outside the Saints' existing quarterbacks to find one, and they're going to do just that. And if they keep – look, they're still a team we got to beat. You know, and if we can't beat – and by the way, we get them late in the year, so it sounds like we're going to get definitely Brees for one game, and who knows?
Yeah, maybe Thanksgiving. Two. Thanksgiving for sure. The November 10th game is up in the air right now.
Right.
At New Orleans. But, guys, this is when Sean Payton is at his best. I'll be honest with you. Back against the wall, he's creative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's wondering now, what are you going to do with Kamara? Hell, you might put Kamara in the Wildcat a little bit. You might use – Taysom Hill, and you're going to find ways to create offense without having Brees out there. I mean, everybody thinks that all of a sudden the season's over. Saints still are a viable team to not only win this division, even without Drew Brees. And I just think, don't count Sean Payton out, Mike. If they go 500 without him, they're still in the mix.
Right. And the other thing is with Teddy Bridgewater. Now, a lot of people are saying that they're going to have to go draft. And with this rich quarterback class, the Saints will have to make some moves to get up high and go draft their next quarterback of the future. But Teddy Bridgewater, it's a nice feel-good story. The knee was spaghetti. No one thought you were going to play again. You come back, and that's great. Well, just don't be a feel-good story. Go out and win and prove that you were a guy that was a team that beat Florida in the Sugar Bowl with Louisville. That you can get these kind of big moments under your belt, and you can win these games. Because otherwise, they will have to go outside, and they're going to go have to draft a quarterback next year.
It is Dukes and Bell. Guys, find us on social media. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. The radio show, Dukes and Bell, 929, and the radio station. You know it, 929, the game. Craig, let's get to an NFL blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
Bo just told me the pre-blitz is over. Yes, Bo, it's called the prelude.
No, we do. Again, we drive Bo crazy. Bo just wants all this to fall under the auspices of the NFL Blitz, but we just kind of riffed on the Saints. So now we'll just riff on other stuff, Bo, but it is also, yes, the NFL Blitz.
Let's talk about Eli Manning, Mike, being benched. Here's Pat Shurmur. He said today, my gut told me this was the right time to change quarterbacks. My gut told me it was in the preseason, but that was me, Pat. I know you're the head coach. So Eli Manning takes a step back.
He's remember, Mara, the owner, said in a perfect world that Eli is the quarterback year because they're winning and they're going to give Daniel Jones some reps at the, you know, in preseason. But again, the Giants are what they are. They're a disaster. They got problems with the offensive line. The receiver, of course, decimated with injuries, and Eli is not being good.
No, but I saw this ridiculous article yesterday about, you know, this is not the way he should be going out. What? Are you serious right now? He's not any good anymore. Well, and the thing is, I know he's making $17 million, but when you're at his level and you've done what he's done, Mike, and accomplished what he's accomplished, you're getting paid for your past performances, in essence.
Right.
He's not getting paid $30 million this year for what they expected of him?
No. I mean, here's the thing with Eli, and there was an article today in the New York Post. It was kind of funny because Steve Serby and these guys, they've been killing Eli for 7 or 8 years, and now it's all because, as you said, what a shame for Eli to go out like this. Oh, you guys have been murdered. What are you shoveling dirt on him, and now we're going to scrape it off? But, I mean, the point about Eli, I think when you look at the big picture, you can't look at the last couple of years because he's been horrible. He's not been able to elevate his game. You know, you look at Aaron Rodgers when guys go down. When you go, remember the year that Tom Brady didn't have any wide receivers? They barely had a run game. They went into Denver, nearly beat the Broncos. Eli Manning can't do that.
No.
But Eli still did win 2 Super Bowls. Carl, when you draft a quarterback in the first round and you make that trade with the Chargers to get him, you got 2 Super Bowls out of that. This guy has 56,000 yards. He's got Hall of Fame credentials. He's always been streaky. But here's the other thing which I think it's worth bringing up. You've had a flake wide receiver, goofy head coaching decisions. You've had offensive lines have been brutal, injuries. And this guy has kept his mouth shut. He doesn't complain. He just shows up for work, punches the clock, answers all the questions at meetings and interviews. But again, it is to your point. It is time for him to shuffle off. But the guy has won 2 Super Bowls, and that's what you draft the guy for.
That is it, Mike. I don't have my bell in here, but that's genius because that's what is expected when you take a guy that high. You know what's expected of Daniel Jones? The same thing. You don't spend a high draft pick like this on a guy and go, well, you know, if we get to the playoffs once, we'll be satisfied. You go top 5, you are what we call a franchise-changing player. And whether you like Eli or not, that's what he's been. I want you to hear Daniel Jones' father, his name's Steve Jones, talking about Eli Manning and the kind of person and the human being he is.
I just honestly don't believe that anybody could have walked into a better situation than Daniel walked into with Eli in the quarterback room. I mean, I don't know him that well. I've met him, you know, and his wife and his family. And, you know, he's just a super guy and a terrific pro in all senses and all respects. So I think that's just a real blessing Daniel received to have, you know, Eli involved. You know, that's one of the ways that Daniel really lucked out. I mean, I think I've heard Daniel say that I don't think there's a better guy. I don't think there's a better pro than Eli Manning.
And, I mean, as corny as it sounds, doesn't it start with Dad?
Right.
I mean, Dad was such a class act. Peyton goes to the league, does what he does, Hall of Famer. And then little bro. I mean, this to me, it just speaks about that. And that's an NFL family, and they understand it. But, yeah, man, that's a big compliment for a guy coming from Daniel Jones' father, Steve Jones.
Right. And a dude that, you know, The Giants were always a strange squad. They would kind of grind it out, then they'd hit that switch seemingly. And look, they are the one who did everybody the favor by beating the Patriots twice. You know, everyone remembers the Tyree catch and holding out of the top of the helmet with the football as Rodney Harris is trying to get it out of there. Go look at Eli's scramble. Eli, I mean, he should have been dead to rights twice on that play before he's able to get the ball to Tyree. And, of course, then he hits Manningham. And he's had some big moments in the big games. And that's, I think, what you judge a guy by. But he's not Peyton. Peyton's the kind of guy you feel he sweats these moments. Eli just kind of rolls off his back.
Meanwhile, Jalen Ramsey, I want out of here.
Well, they're going to oblige him.
Okay, Jalen, can you talk about why you are not happy with the Jags?
I wanted to talk as soon as I could today just because I don't really want it to be a distraction.
What?
For my teammates getting ready for a game on Thursday.
Too late for that.
And right now I'm still a part of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I'm happy about that.
Not really.
No, you're not. Stop.
You don't like the coach.
You don't like this situation. Why would you even say that? Now you're fronting.
I want to answer every single little question that y'all got about different situations and what came about to lead to this point. I have nothing bad or negative to say at all about anybody.
You already did.
Mm-hmm. Happens. It is what it is. I think everybody, for the most part, knows what's up.
So you didn't mean what you said the first time. I mean, what are you saying?
Mike, he's not going to answer every little question we ask, Mike.
If you're going to run your mouth, everybody who played DB at Florida State wants to be Deion Sanders, okay? Well, if you're going to throw that lip, then you better have the grip, okay? It's time for you to...
Were you a poet? Didn't you know it?
That was one of my dad's lines. You know, whenever I used to bellyache, I'd be doing yard work, he's like, less lip, more grip. In other words, get working. But I mean, like, you said it, you're on record, own it. I know. I mean, what he's trying to do there is he's trying to be a good teammate and, for the most part, try to gloss this over. But right now they're shopping him. They're looking to go. And the Chiefs seem to be a really good landing spot because the Chiefs realize if we're ever going to beat the Patriots this year with those three wide receivers, we'll need another shutdown corner.
All right, I got one more question for him, though. Jalen Ramsey, I mean, are you mad because they didn't pay you? Is that why you're mad? That why you want out?
I have nothing bad or negative to say at all about anybody.
So then why?
In this building.
In the building? Happens.
Yeah, why did you roll up in a Brinks truck then for training camp? Why did you do that?
I don't want to answer every single little question.
All right.
Every little question.
All right, fine.
Well, look, you put it out there. Look, when you
do you have a question for him?
You kicked the hornet's nest. Like, bro, what do you think? You're Deion Sanders over here?
I don't want to answer every single little question.
I mean, you ain't. Not yet. I mean, you're good. You're two-time Pro Bowler.
You ain't.
But, I mean, I do it. And I give him as much of a bust in his balls here. I give him all the credit in the world. He said that if you go back and watch the play against the Texans, he goes, challenge that. He didn't catch the football. Marone doesn't. That's where they got upset in 2016. He was yelling at Marone. They remember the playoff game in New England? Yelling at Marone about how you're going into a shell.
That's right.
You know, so he's had some for what it's worth, this guy has had some legitimate beefs with how they're running the team.
NFL Blitz brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Let's shift gears and head to Steelerland. Mike Tomlin asked about Minka Fitzpatrick.
We did our due diligence. We looked at Minka. We knew it was somewhat of a pipe dream because of his global position in the draft. But having gone down there for both Alabama Pro Days and interviewed him and spent time with him, it really made this process a clean process for Kevin and I in terms of decision making.
Okay. And he's talking about Kevin, the general manager. Mm-hmm. Minka Fitzpatrick is now a Steeler. Hey, one other thing I want to...
And he's worth the first round pick, by the way.
I agree, totally. Mike Vick, Mike, was asked by TMZ. People keep comparing Lamar Jackson to Mike Vick. Do you buy that comparison?
I mean, very similar in the sense that...
Outside the fact that they're black. Go ahead.
Well, they are?
Yes.
Carl, I judge a quarterback by the stats he puts up, not by the color of his skin.
I understand.
But no, as far as Lamar Jackson, the first year, it was rather rudimentary, as was Mike's. Mike had one hot read, and Dan Reeves was like, oh, pull it down and go. So that's exactly how they worked it. And Lamar Jackson, there's a lot of similarities there. And now, in the second year, will he expand it? And I think Lamar is trying to expand. Now, will Lamar put the work in that unfortunately Mike wouldn't? Admittedly not.
Here's Mike Vick.
Everyone's comparing Lamar Jackson to you. What do you think about those comparisons?
Oh, I think they're good comparisons, man. If anybody looking like me, it's Lamar.
You mean advice for him to keep...
Keep doing what he's doing. Don't change nothing. He worked hard in the offseason.
There you go.
I agree.
Don't just keep your eye on the prize.
Don't change nothing.
And there was a video, and I don't know if it was in his neighborhood where he grew up in Broward County or Baltimore, but this was I saw this 2 days ago. Lamar is in his car, and a bunch of kids wave at him, and he basically pulls the car over and signs autographs for everybody in his
office. That's what's up. Hey, a couple of dog-related stories. Patriots place win on IR, Mike.
Mm.
Left tackle Isaiah Wynn.
That's
guys.
Not the way you want to start your career, is it, man?
No, man. He was hurt last year. So injury reserve with a toe injury. Field Yates reporting he could return later in the season. And then Mahomes has coached up Mecole Hardman in Kansas City. If you didn't see this, Chiefs rookie wide receiver Hardman is fast. We know that. As a matter of fact, there was a footage out there earlier in the year where Mahomes is like, keep running, and it throws like 80-yard bomb right to him. So these two guys, I don't know if they're going to, you know, be the connection or at least another connection for Mahomes, but Mahomes said during Sunday's win over the Raiders that he was, you know, misconnected when Hardman looked too concerned about faking out a defensive back. So he was like, look, just do this, just do
this. Don't do a double move, just go. Yeah. Don't even do a single move. Just do a straight line post, and I'll hit you in stride, he told the Kansas City paper.
Yeah, we're going to connect. So I love that, man. And we said this. I don't think he could have ended up in a better place either with the quarterback he has.
Hey, a little fantasy football. Psst, maybe you've already picked this guy up. DeMarcus Robinson on the Chiefs. 7 receptions for 172 yards and 2 touchdowns was McColl and Mahomes work on their speed connection. This is a dude that's taking the place of Tyreek Hill. Him and Sammy Watkins are putting up big numbers. So look for DeMarcus Robinson on your waiver wire.
Hold on, let me set my lineup.
I mean, I already snagged him, and I think in the
you did.
Well, in the Yahoo in the 92.9 the game league.
Damn,
I got Knox this week. I got Knox Bardeen. I'm 2-0, Joe.
Man, all right, good snatch. Hey, join 92.9 The Game for the 4th Annual Tailgate Fest. Now, guys, this is something we pride ourselves on. We have a lot of fun with it. It's going to be on Saturday, October 5th. I know you're thinking, wow, it's down the road. It is, but we want you to plan accordingly. 11 to 5 p.m. at the Home Depot backyard. It's open to the public. Enjoy a day with great activities. It's for the entire family if you want to come out, guys, including a tailgate chili cook-off contest. Mm-hmm. Yum. Music, some of the best food trucks in Atlanta, game prizes, all kind of stuff going on. Go to our events page, 92.9thegame.com.
Hey, look who's in the hallway. That's Dale Murphy. He should be in the Hall of Fame. We'll be at his bar and restaurant tomorrow. But Dale Murphy's going to join us next, guys, talking about the Red Hot Braves.
Each and every week, we get a chance to visit with the legendary Dale Murphy, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. Hungry Braves fans, meet us at Racetrack. Racetrack has pizza slices for just $1 with the purchase of a 20-ounce Coca-Cola product or medium fountain drink at participating locations. Racetrack, guys, whatever gets you going. Murph is in studio with us today. Mike and I will be out at Murph's tomorrow in Cobb Galleria. We had a great time out there. We were telling Murph about it last hour.
A day here after National Cheeseburger Day. So we'll do our
there
job.
There you go.
Yeah, man.
I think tomorrow. Wait, when are you going to be there?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. I think tomorrow's National Cheese Curd Day.
the curds are good.
And yes,
by the
are
way, we always say this. I know we're fat slobs, but the definition of torture is you come out of a commercial break, and it's like, and we're live here at Murph's, and then they put the food down. Carl, then you're going to sit there and look at that cheeseburger for 10 minutes. But anyway, it is great food, so come on down.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
And it's a businessman's special, so after the game, why don't you come on over and say hi and hang out with us?
Absolutely. You know, those cheese curds, everybody goes, Murph, what is this? You know, and you know how Jim Gaffigan defined fried cheese curds.
What'd he say?
He said it's like French fries in heaven had a baby.
Not lying.
Is that sacrilegious?
No,
I don't know.
No,
I didn't. Jim Gaffigan said it.
Murph, we have some exciting stuff in front of us. We're going to win a division again. We've got the playoffs ahead of us. So we've got a lot of stuff to look ahead to, and our team is playing really well, and I feel really good. But I want to rewind and take people back to Charlie Culberson getting hit. Because you've been at bat. How many at bats did you have in your career?
I don't even remember.
Come on.
Let me see. 15, 5, a few thousand.
A few thousand. So a few thousand times you stepped into that batter's box. Fastballs coming at you, curves, sliders. And the thing that I want you to kind of describe, because when I saw this, for me, there's one player. You know, we all have players on certain teams. For me, in 1984, you might remember this, Dickie Thong gets hit.
Yes, I do remember.
For the Astros. Yeah. He was a young player. He had 20 home runs.
Yeah.
He gets hit, breaks his orbital bone. He was never the same player, okay? You could talk about Kirby Puckett, some guys that, you know, that you may be aware of, but there are a lot of players that you might not be as aware of who've gotten hit in the face like this over the years and just were never the same. When that ball's coming at you, right, the reaction time, and you're trying to get out of the way, explain to us what's going through your head, because, you know, you never got hit in the face, I'm assuming, but it came close, right?
Well, yeah, I had to duck my head a few times, but, you know, it's different when you're bunting, and that was a bunt situation. So you're kind of like, okay, everybody kind of knows this is a bunt situation. I'm just going to, you know, he's going to throw it wherever he wants to throw it. When you're hitting and you're thinking completely different thoughts,
right?
It's a little bit easier to – it's like a boxer, you know. You just move your head. If a guy's going to jab you and you're lucky, you can just move your head. That's why they throw it, you know, they throw the punches to the midsection. You can't move. You wear a guy down eventually. So when a ball's coming at your head and you're hitting, you can move your head a little bit easier. But when you're turning around to bunt and it's a bunt situation, you're not really you're in a different mode. Mm-hmm. And especially, I don't know how fast that ball was coming, 91,
2?
2 or 3, yeah. And it's got some movement in on you. So all of a sudden, it's not as easy to move your head. That's what happened to Charlie, I think, right. you're in a much more vulnerable situation, yeah, I guess, to get hit.
Right.
Usually your head is easy to move. I guess that's my point. But when you're squared around a bunt.
And it's rising.
And it's rising and moving in on you. It's like, where do you go?
Right.
And then all of a sudden it's on top of you. Of course, we don't need to get into the strike call, which was totally ridiculous. To me, it has to be an obvious attempt to strike at the ball, to bunt at the ball.
Move the bat.
People say, well, he didn't pull the bat back. That doesn't mean you tried to bunt it. The umpires messed up. They should have got together and said, look, I actually think he bunted at the ball. And then the rest of the umps would be like, if you do that, we're all going to look terrible. Let's call it a ball. That's neither here nor there. My concern is for Charlie's health, and we're going to miss him. There's no question.
Right.
Everybody knows the follows the Braves what Charlie's done, so we're going to miss him in the playoffs. Yeah, this club has bounced back from some things, but we're going to miss Charlie. You know, so I've only bunted a few times in my career, but you're just more vulnerable
right.
when you're thinking bunt. That's what happened on him.
It is Dale Murphy with us live in studio, guys. As Carl mentioned, we'll be over at Murph's tomorrow, guys, outside the ballpark, other side of the 285. Murph, Markakis comes back, and this was very old school because it was kind of funny. This was like when we were kids. Nobody did a rehab start in double A or something. You came back and you played. You know, you took extra rips in the cages.
Live VP, they call it, which right. is the worst thing ever. You got no adrenaline going, and you got someone throwing game speed on you.
But no, but he comes to the point I'm getting to. Boom, he comes back and unbelievably hits the ground running up there on the road trip. How impressed are you by Markakis, who kind of wound out of energy last year and now is going to be fresh for the postseason?
And that's an interesting point because that was the talk of the town in the playoffs was they should have rested him a little bit more. Now he had the injury, so he's ready to go. And I've been saying for a few weeks, we're going to clinch. Let's just rest anyway. Get the guys ready to go mentally and physically. And so, everybody uses the same term to describe Markakis, steady, does his job and true professional. But, I know the older you get, these things just become harder to do. And this little stint here that he's done after being out this much and coming back is sometimes even more impressive than just what you do during the regular season.
It's Dale Murphy here on Dukes and Bell, our weekly visit with Murph. You went 30 for 30, right? You had a season 30 for 30, right?
It was a million years ago. Yes. You're right.
But you did.
Yes.
30 home
83,
runs.
83, yeah.
83, 30 home runs, 30 stolen bases. Acuña is approaching 40-40. You know how hard it was to do 30-30. How much more difficult is – you just sound? It sounds simple because you get, yeah. 10 more home runs, 10 more stolen bases.
Yeah, right. You run out of time. I mean, that's the other thing is they may rest Acuña, and he may miss that opportunity to go 40-40. He doesn't care about that stuff. If it happens, it happens. But how hard is it? I can't imagine because you're right. I don't remember when I stole my 30th base in 83, but it was towards the end of the season. Mm. I mean, I was done. Ronald's got tremendous power and tremendous speed, and he's hitting leadoff. He's gonna be knocking on 30-30 a lot, and then occasionally I think this is not going to be a new thing for him, even the 40-40 with a chance. I think this is going to be something that he's going to have the opportunity, even though only five people have done it or something.
Right.
Ronald's really unique compared to all the guys that have ever done it. This guy, he's batting leadoff. He loves to run. I just kind of fell into that 30 stolen base. I wasn't a base stealer, but I worked my way into it, and then I went down after that. Ronald's going to be looking for stolen bases a lot more. So I just don't think this is going to be an unusual thing for him. But 40-40 is incredibly difficult.
Now, I'm going to look at your numbers, man. Unless Torrey just wouldn't give you the green light. You only got caught four times in 83.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm looking
well,
right at it.
Well, there's kind of a long story. I won't make it too long. But in 82, when Joe came, he said, Murph, I think you could steal some more. I'm going to give you the green light.
Mm.
I'm like, well, okay. He says, but I'm going to give you the red light if you don't show me you know what you're doing. Like, if we're down 10 and Horner's up and you're stealing second, you know. But it was really, it was an interesting life lesson for me when someone trusts you and says, be creative. Because you know what it made me do? In 83, every time I got on base, I said, is now a good time?
Right.
I either shut it down or I went to steal. You know what I'm saying? So
it was a mindset?
It's a mindset. Okay. Joe said, and I never thought of myself as a base stealer till Joe said, you have the green light. A lot of people think the green light means just go whenever you want to. No, you go when it's going to be appropriate and help the team, especially a guy like me. There's always more opportunities for a guy that runs like Ronald to steal. You know what I mean? If you're down two, down one like you did last night, was that the ninth? Right. Or the
Ninth inning, yes.
We were down one.
That's right.
With Albies up. See, in my day, I wouldn't have stole because – you know, I just wasn't that fast. He can get away with a bad jump. I had to have a great jump. Right. He's a base stealer with pop. I mean, it's incredible tools he has. But anyway, that was the story, really. People say, well, how'd this come up? I go, Joe said, you know, be creative. You're on your own. Use your brains, you know. But if you're not using your brain right, you're not going anywhere.
It's a great story.
And also nowadays, Dale Murphy's in studio. I mean, I hate them. A lot of guys like Smoltz will come on the show with us, Dale, and he hates the overuse of analytics. It's like station-to-station baseball. Nobody wants to steal. It's almost like a dying art in this day and age in baseball.
What's really interesting is I think those first two guys in our lineup can buck this trend right now. And I think they could create some havoc in the playoffs because you're right. It's station-to-station, but we got a couple guys right in the front that aren't playing station-to-station. So I think for the next 5 years, I'd love – and I know Snit gives them the green light. I'm sure they have the green light. But right now, since the trend is, you're exactly right, go station to station, wait for the home run. Let's buck that trend a little bit. Mm. And that's why this is an exciting, fun team to watch. They're bucking the trend a little bit.
Murph, we are going to win this division. We've got plenty of time to talk with you about these playoffs. So we're going to save that conversation. Yeah. Until next week. But we're out at Murph's tomorrow, guys. Come join us. We're going to be out there, Cobb Galleria. It's going to be a fun time out there, 2 to 7.
Yeah, we'll get you on next week. We'll talk about what the rotation is going to look like. How do you make these decisions and all that?
They got some big decisions to make.
They do.
For sure.
Murph is
Thanks,
here.
Guys.
And we'll be there tomorrow, man. Can't wait. Love seeing you face to face. I told you the other day, got the autograph of this guy when I was 10 years old.
Mia's at Racetrack. They've got pizza slices for just a dollar with the purchase of a 20-ounce Coca-Cola product or medium fountain drink at participating locations. Racetrack, whatever gets you going. What is Atlanta United going to do tonight? You'll hear from some of our players, and we'll talk about it in our Five Stripes preview next.
And now for the Five Stripes preview.
The Jets score!
Brought to you by Associated Credit Union.
All right, guys, Five Stripes were not up for their match against Columbus. Will they be up for it tonight as they take on FC Cincinnati? It is our Five Stripes preview here on Dukes and Bell. Usually with our man Mike Conti as he's headed up to Cincinnati to get ready for tonight's matchup. Mike, it's brought to you by Associated Credit Union. What do we need to do tonight? Because no Barco, no LGP in the last match. And Barco, right? We talked about it.
Yeah, Barco banged up. No George Bello. They're going to save him for the U.S. men's national team under 18. So we're not going to see Bello. That, unfortunately, just never got right physically. LGP was missed last week, guys, for yellow card accumulation. You know, you get an X amount, then you got to sit on a one-game suspension. So Leandro will be back. And as frustrating as he is to me and some fans, I think, you know, well, the ladies love him. But, Carl, sometimes the technique is a bit rough. Sometimes he doesn't get any benefit of the doubt. The refs know what he's going to do, and he draws some silly yellow cards. But that aside, you needed his physical presence and his size against Columbus last match. Didn't have it. There was a disconnect in the middle. We love Hyndman, but there were some problems there in the middle. Got to get Barco healthy. Got to get Barco out there in the mix. Otherwise, Rometty and Hyndman Nagbe have got to work better together. Julian Gressel does his job. Julian gave two great clear. If you didn't see it, he put the ball right in the middle of the net, and there was nobody there to do anything with it. We could have been up 3-0 at halftime, and then we wouldn't have had to deal with Columbus roaring back.
Speaking of Gressel, Julian had this to say about now as you battle for that overall number one spot in the East. You're talking about a bye. We know how important that could be. Here's Julian Gressel.
You know, we should have taken care of business at home, and yeah, we didn't. And now, obviously, it's a very long uphill battle, but we need some help. But, you know, we still have five games. Got to pick up points.
We talked about it. Cincinnati tonight, Mike. San Jose Saturday the 21st. And then you turn right back around on the road against NYCFC on Wednesday the 25th, and then on the road against Montreal the 29th.
We'll see our best buddy, Greg Garza, for Cincinnati. He's back on the pitch. He's been banged up. Now, Garza, we love him. We love his work ethic, and he's tough as nails, but he just couldn't stay healthy. Greg was always getting banged up. But it looks like Greg will make his return to see him. That'll be kind of cool tonight. It's not ESPN Plus, so I know that's a pain in the butt. Set it up on your TV. Their announcers are clowns. And link up with rradio.com, and you can listen to Jason and Mike with the call. Joseph Martinez, Carl, going for his 15th goal in a row.
Amazing.
And, yeah, man, just unbelievable stuff. I think, I would knock wood, he can do it against Cincinnati, who, by the way, they're one of their better players. Kendall Watson, he got a red card over the weekend, so he's out. So this is an expansion team that's only won 6 games. They're going to be fired up because we are the defending champs. We cannot come out flat, had the letdown, which we did against Columbus.
I'm glad you brought up that being flat, because here's what Brad Guzan, our goalie, had to say about that.
We got to look in the mirror first and foremost. We can talk tactics, this, that, and the other, but we weren't sharp. We weren't good enough, plain and simple, and there's no excuses for that. And we got to make sure when we step on the field, we get the job done.
Now, Mike, do you put that on DeBoer or you put that on the guys?
I think you go individually. I think there's some guys. I think Pogba was awful at times last week. I thought there were a lot of guys you could look and say, you know, what are we doing here? I thought Escobar struggled at times with turnovers. We were not prepared on the counter. Our spacing was bad. And again, maybe that would have been mitigated if Leandro Gonzalez-Pires was out there. But to me, you got up on Columbus, and I think just human nature. Darren Eales told us yesterday's show. You kind of just check out, well, these guys aren't that good. We got this. And you can't do that because they still got Zardes. They still got guys who are good, play at the national level. So you gotta be on your P's and Q's. We weren't. That's an embarrassing loss last week. I've never seen fans more angry. Miles Robinson, he's done such great work over the course of this season, you know, making the U.S. men's national team.
He
certainly deserved. But, yeah, the own goal thing, people are always going to look at that. But that's an aberration. This guy has saved more goals than one he let in on his own foot.
No doubt. Miles Robinson arguably has been the best player this year for us. You could argue. So I get it. We put this one behind us. We're talking about last week. Tonight, FC Cincinnati, pregame 7:30 kick, guys. It is our Five Stripes preview here on Dukes and Bell, brought to you by Associated Credit Union. Coming up in less than 10 minutes, David Pollack, ESPN analyst, college football game day host. He's going to join us, guys, to help us break down this Georgia-Notre Dame game. Now, we'll also ask him other questions about some other stuff that's going on.
Right.
But we know that's the big focus this week, and Pollack will be down there. Game day will be down there as well. And then coming up at 4:20-ish, all right, we're going to grab Austin Hooper from our Atlanta Falcons. We'll talk to
Yeah, man, Pro Bowler. Remember, stood outside Matt Ryan's house with his radio on? You know, wanting Matt to come out and play catch with him. It worked 2 years ago. This year, not as much of that, but certainly Hoop has sort of established himself as a guy that can make big plays. Problem is for Hoop, you know, how many touches do you get with all the weapons that we were talking about yesterday? Same argument for how many touches can you give Devontae Freeman when you want to feed Calvin Ridley and Julio while you're out there.
Yeah, so all that's on the way here on Dukes and Bell. We'll also get to Yeah Man, No Man. More on the Indianapolis Colts, as they are now the focus for our Falcons, who are back on the field this week. Mike mentioned this, and I think it speaks to how physical that game was Sunday. Bunch of Eagles players were not practicing, and many of them were limited. As a matter of fact, they had kind of a walkthrough today, and Doug Peterson was talking about it. We beat them up.
Yeah, the pads were a popping. One thing we got to clean up, though, D-Led just mentioned it on his Twitter page covering the Falcons. 19 penalties through 2 games. That makes the Falcons the fourth most penalized team. Quinn preaches it. Special teams penalties have killed us, gave us bad field position. They got to tighten that up going to Indy.
All right, man. Pollack's coming up. What's he think about the Dogs' chances against Notre Dame? Find out.
No disrespect. I mean, y'all don't know as much as you think you do.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.